So I'm glad that I was like, I didn't know if it was just going to be one person. I was going to not record it. And the two of you are on. So great. This is Diane, and it is Thursday. I have no idea what day it is. April 17th, maybe?
Yes.
Maybe. That's how bad it is, right?
Yes, it is. The 17th.
It's been a long week. Tax week and vacation week and everything else that makes it a long week. But I've got two folks on tonight. This is the evening mixed group. And let's just do a quick check-in and see how things are going. Laura, you were sharing that things are going really well for you at home, but you're still having some challenges with math. Anything you want to add?
I think we're just trying to figure out how, because he tests very high for math, and then in the classroom, he fails all the tests. And so he's in tutoring, and I'm trying to figure out how the heck to make that work, because it doesn't seem to be helping. And I'm just confused. I don't understand what the test is testing, that the class is testing that he doesn't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so it might be an opportunity to get really curious about what's going on and maybe kind of dig in a little bit with the teacher and say, is it the environment when you're testing? I know that one of my kids has a really difficult time when it's really quiet, and that the learning environment is completely different during a test than it is during normal homework, where people are getting up and they're sharpening their pencils and they're asking the teacher questions. And, you know, sometimes it's the quiet. Sometimes it's the anxiety over the test. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I've got a test to take. I've got to do really well. And that anxiety starts to work up, and it gets difficult for them.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the way that the test is delivered, whether it's, you know, I know that my son gets overwhelmed with too many math problems on one sheet. You know, and so if you're doing homework and you've only got four problems to do, it's very different than if you've got a sheet of paper that has 50 problems on it for a test. You know, so get really curious about what might be different about the test that would help him to kind of pick it apart a little bit.
That's probably exactly what I need to do. See, another teacher meeting. Principal, teacher.
Yeah, that's our life, and it makes it tough. But you're doing such a great job, Laura, and I think that's the one thing. You know, you started off by saying things are going really well. I would encourage you, when things go really well, when you have a couple weeks that are going really well, jump up and down and celebrate, because it doesn't, you know, it's sometimes it sustains and sometimes it doesn't. But you guys have all been working really, really hard and doing a lot to make changes in your lives and your kids' lives, and so pat yourselves on the back as much as you can. I'm proud for all of you guys, and we all do such good work, so keep it up.
Thank you.
Wendy, how have things been going for you, dear?
I thought they were going good, and then the last couple of days we've been having some meltdowns. And I had their domain meeting, and they want to do some more testing now for going into aid. And so it's just, I think me and my son were, I thought we were doing really good and just getting on this new schedule of things. And, but he has not been wanting to, I know he's a little burnt out, you know, so, but he's, cause he's had a lot of projects at school and, he wasn't doing them. He kept saying, I'm doing them at school. And so when we had that meeting 2 days ago, I told them I was a little frustrated because now they're all due, and most of the stuff wasn't even sent home. So between, you know, I said it wasn't very clear to me what's being done in school and what I need to do at home. You know, it needs to be clearer for me, because I got one project sent home saying, okay, we started at school, but now you have to finish, like 2 days before it was due. They've had the project for 3 weeks, so why do I have to clean up somebody else's mess, you know? It's how I felt at the time, you know? I said, I don't mind doing it, but if you send it home with the directions, then we can just work on it at our pace. Not trying to clean up somebody else's mess 2 days beforehand.
So it's frustrating because, you know, the teacher was moving along, expecting him to kind of get it done in class, and then when he didn't, all of a sudden, this big pile of stuff ends up coming home with a deadline.
Exactly.
So I can hear your frustration. How could you, how could you approach the teacher with a with a solution for how to handle this sort of thing moving forward.
Well, she was at the meeting. She ended up being at the meeting. So, I mean, that was just kind of a side note that I brought up because I'm just, they were due this week. So she did have the resource teacher help them with one of them. One, they did kind of get everything done except for one now. So I'm, like, feeling a little thankful for that, but is that going to help me next month or next year?
Yeah.
So I kind of want that somewhere written in the notes that's, you know, just to be very clear, because if he's not going to say it, then, and you're going to, well, and that's how I explained it, too. I said I didn't want to be the helicopter mom, and I don't want to be the mom that also comes in every day complaining. So where's our happy medium, you know? So,
and so I guess that's the question is that, you know, if we were just talking about, Laura and I were just talking about accommodations, it's like if the accommodation is that you need to have regular communication back and forth between the teacher and you, and maybe one of the things specifically is about large projects, whether they're done at home or whether they're done at school, you want to know when there's big stuff, quote unquote, going on at school, so that you can be prepared in case, you know, because it does take him longer to get things done. And so you expect when he has a big project like that, that there's going to be some stuff that needs to be done at home.
Right.
Remind me, does he have accommodations?
Oh, yes. He has an IEP, and he does have accommodations, like, and he does have a problem in math. They want to retest him in that to see if he has a specific learning disability in math now. Or for any of the subjects, I believe, they're just going to go ahead and test them all so that when he goes into sixth grade, that they have an idea, a better idea of what to do. So I gave the go-ahead for that, and they're going to break it up into different days. But, yeah, he gets pulled out for the big tests, like the out here it's called ISTAT and MAP and whatever district test that they do. He gets pulled out into a separate room with the resource teacher, like, so for, like, the big math test, he gets pulled out, and he does usually much better. And so they're allowed to, like, read the instructions to him. They're allowed to break up the test, like you said. Instead of 50 questions, it could be 10 a day instead of the whole big one, because he has the anxiety going and seeing that whole big test, too. So it's just been frustrating, but we're working on it, and we're trying to stay positive, and I know it's been just, I think the extra week with this, all these projects being due all at once is just, was kind of a lot for us.
Yeah. So did you use any of the tools from the last session? What tools would you say that have been most helpful for you in this last?
We have used different tools. Like, he has a nice quiet space now. We haven't had a lot of time. I was out of town for 3 days, so it was just like the getting back to normal. So, and then they've been off, like today and tomorrow they're off of school. So I guess maybe because they had the shorter week, they tried to, like, rush. But we have karate, like today we had karate and things like that.
The reason I'm asking, Wendy and Laura, mm-hmm. this is for you as well, is like we're at the point in the school year and we've got, well, you know, one more month of coaches of PFS left in the year.
Right.
And we want to check in with everybody and make sure you feel like you're at the place where you understand kind of how to do the model. You know, we call it the parenting mm-hmm. action model. So it's kind of like, I've got a challenge. And so I'm going to get really specific. What am I focused in on? What am I really tackling? Is it math at school? Is it the relationship with the teacher? Is it the, you know, what is it? Is it the snack after school? You know, whatever it is. And you take aim and then you ask yourself, okay, am I going to activate the brain? Am I going to parent positively? I'm going to do shift systems and structures. Or am I going to look at my expectations? And you start there. And then once you kind of have narrowed it down, then you say, okay, what tool might I use in parenting positively? Am I going to not take it personally? Am I going to fail forward, which is what we're going to talk about today? But, you know, it's really about kind of going through in a more systematic fashion because it can be so overwhelming when we're dealing with literally 17, 18 challenges in any one day, which we usually always are. There's never just one challenge. But it's about beginning to get into the habit for all of us of, okay, I've got a challenge. Instead of getting overwhelmed and going, okay, here we go again. I've got to have another meeting with a teacher, another meeting, whatever. It's going, okay, take aim. It's just educate, you know, figure out what area I'm going to take in, take, you know, and take action. You know, so it's really about kind of doing that over and over and over again. So would encourage you guys to kind of go back and look at the Parenting Action Model if you haven't looked at that in a while. but just as a reminder, it's really a powerful way to kind of get into, and it's the best way. We talked about not taking things personally last time, but it's, I find the best way to not take things personally is if I've got some kind of structure that I put in place that helps me to distance myself from, oh my gosh, my kid's got another, you know, and my thing is homework and challenges at school. You know, so I can get myself out of that, oh my gosh, she's got another D on a progress report, to, okay, where can we take aim? What can I do to educate myself? What response am I going to make, and what tool am I going to use? Because you guys have developed this great pocket full of tools this past year, or, you know, if you've only been working with them for a few months, over the past few months, it's the time to kind of jump in and kick in and start using them. So how does that feel when I say that?
It feels good.
Laura?
I haven't read it in a little while, so yes, you are right. I need to go back and reread. And
yeah.
Laura, how does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think that I have felt pretty good about following stuff, and I feel like things have fallen into place because of that. And I think right now, honestly, you know, Zachary's out of school. He'll graduate on the 30th of May, which isn't that far away, and he's already gotten into his high schools. I guess there's a part of me that normally, you know, when November came and he was having trouble, I was freaking out a lot more. And honestly, I'm just kind of like, I'm just chill right now. Like, you know what? If he gets a D, he gets a D. Oh, well. The end of the school year, everything's coming up. And I absolutely, I mean, I will go in, because I think that pinpointing how he keeps doing so poorly in math is, you know, still trying to figure that out, because he's getting the tutoring, he's getting the help. And I am very sure that he does not have an additional learning disability besides this. I'm pretty sure that it traces back to lack of attention during the instruction. And so I know that the teacher can get annoyed because he's, you know, in his own little world. He's not distracting anyone. He's just not really paying attention. So just trying to figure out still, you know, it's the end of the year, so obviously, and I did feel a lot more panicky earlier in the year. And right now I'm just trying to say, you know what? It is what it is. He's already into high school. Like, I guess, like senioritis, you know, that last semester of senior year when you're already into the college of your choice and, like, well, if it goes, it goes.
Yeah. But well, and I think that's
what's going on.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like it's exhausting. You know, we talk a lot about how our kids get exhausted by the end of the day. I mean, by the end of the semester, I think that, you know, and as my kids have gotten older, they've gotten better about it. But, you know, it's like you go on spring break and it's like, oh, thank goodness, we're on spring break. Okay, we can relax a little bit. And then they come back and they have a standardized test. And so they're pushing to get ready for the standardized test. And then the minute the standardized tests are done, they're like, you know what? I'm done for the year. You know, and so, you know, and that's the reality of it. And so, you know, for example, my son's now a freshman in high school, and they don't have the, you know, the standardized national test. They have end of course test, and they're a little bit later. But it's like, okay, how do we keep, and I can have this conversation with him because he's a little bit older, and say, I remember when you would check out after spring break and we wouldn't see you again until September. And so how do we keep you going? Because you're doing well, you're doing okay. We want to keep those grades up because you got to get past the finish line in order to, you know, get the good grade in high school. It's not enough to kind of just pass and move on like it has been some other years. So it's really important to notice and to see, like, you're doing where your child is at. And then, like you said, figuring out what the motivation is. And so sometimes it's about bringing in an artificial motivator. Sometimes it's about helping them to connect to one that they already, you know, whatever it is, it's finding a way to keep them engaged and keep them going. But we're in the home stretch, and that's the exciting piece of it.
Well,
Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, I was going to say, I forgot that he did this. So Monday night before the meeting on Tuesday, I told my son to write down any questions that he wanted me to ask them. Like, and he's like, they're never going to listen to a kid, And I said, well, you don't know that. You just write down your questions, and if you want, I'll ask them for you, or you can say them from you. So he did write down this whole, on some note cards, a whole thing about, if you want me to read it, I'll read it. But, I mean, he did write down, like, why he was so frustrated, how his brain feels on fire, especially in math, and that they should give kids a little bit break, that they're getting burnt out on the projects. And so I gave him a lot of rewards, like sort of for speaking up for himself this week. Yeah. So I did kind of, because of the meltdown today, I kind of guess I forgot about that. But he actually wrote down his feelings, and he explained them and explained which ones were bothering him the most. So I did feel better, yeah, because when I went into that meeting and I showed him his words and his handwriting, it felt better than just me, like, going to say, hey, this is from him and not from me, So I did give him a lot of credit for that, So I want him to feel like he has a voice, so...
Yeah,
it was really
great.
Good.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is and continue to encourage that, because as they get older, the more that can happen more and more and more, and I find how much it empowers them to even give them those little successes and those little moments of independence and empowerment. So let's take a minute and get real specific before we jump into our tip for today and take aim. So, both of you have talked a little bit about some challenges that you're having, but the first step is to get really clear about where you're going to focus your efforts and what you're going to work on for the next couple weeks. So take a minute and either share with me or just kind of write down what you're going to do and where you're going to take aim for the next couple weeks.
I think mine's going to come back to... I love, Wendy, what you just said about your son writing down how he feels, and I almost think I'm going to have a conversation like that with Zachary to try to figure out some of the trouble with math and why it's not working. And I think spending more time before the year's over so that he doesn't get into high school where the grades really start to matter. I mean, not that they don't matter now, they do, but figuring out how is he missing stuff, how is this not working, what can we do so that I even can help to write better accommodations for whatever 504 or whatever we do. And I think I like what Wendy said, and quite frankly, I think that's a really good idea. And just having a meeting, like, what is going on that he's missing stuff or just not doing stuff, or he thinks he's doing okay and then he's not, and then he bombs the test. And so, just trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and so the thing that's kind of coming up as you're saying that, Laura, is the did you listen to the After School Survival Guide webinar that we did?
I did not. No, I did not. I did not have a chance.
So
it's summer for me. I'm in school right now. So my
no, I get it. But so
everybody else's IEPs and
One of the things that we did in that, and if you send me a note, I'll send it to you. There's a 12 steps to completing homework. And we actually got it from the CHAD website, but we don't think that there's just 12, but it's kind of the 12 core steps. But it kind of can help you think through all the different components of it, and it might be a way to even, as you're looking at test taking as well, to kind of go through, okay, what are the different steps in test taking and what can be breaking down. So that might be helpful to you, and I'm happy to share that with you if it would be helpful.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I'll send you an email.
Great. So, Wendy, where are you going to take aim?
Oh, well, for sure this week we have to take aim at our emotions, because he's just wrote in his little letter that how overwhelmed he is and the extra work, and if you just read this, it's just kind of heartbreaking. I almost wanted to cry. So I feel like just this week in particular that We just have to work on our emotions and how are we going to express ourselves better, and how I can help him, you know, figure out how he's feeling and how he's going to tell us how to speak up for him. You know, how is he going to tell me when he's this frustrated in a better, more constructive way instead of just
right.
acting out or lashing out or holding it in, you know? So I really need to take aim, especially this week with the emotions and how we're going
right.
to express those.
Great, Wendy. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about our topic this week, which is failing forward. And I love this topic, and I think that it's Elaine would tell you that this is her absolute favorite topic, and I understand why, because it's such an important part of life. And I think that this is one of those lessons where it's like some of it's for us and some of it's for our kids. And you know, it's the reality is that it's human nature to make mistakes, but it's also making mistakes really kind of gets a bad rap in society. And I still remember there was a movie I watched with my kids, and it must have been a Pixar movie called something about the Robinsons. And they had this whole big thing about, yay, you made a mistake. And it was always this great sort of making mistakes was important because that's how you learned, and it's how you moved on to the next sort of thing. Because, you know, if you think about kind of all the things that were discovered because of mistakes, you know, it's pretty astonishing, like the light bulb and the, you know, some of these other things, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I think. There's all these things that were made out of mistakes. And so we know that it's part of human nature, but as humans, we also resist making mistakes because it's like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to make a mistake. It's a bad thing to make a mistake. But, you know, I think the other piece of it is that our kids get a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. And the trick here is to allow ourselves and allow our kids permission to make mistakes and to distinguish between making mistakes and being bad or being wrong. And I think that that's the piece of it, is that that I talk about judgment and the fact that once you judge something as bad or good, then it changes everything. If something's a mistake, wow, I didn't really mean for that to happen that way, or you didn't mean for that to happen that way, and it ended up being something different, it's very different than it's bad, you're bad, this can't happen anymore. Because once it's kind of been, you're in that bad, this can't happen anymore, I've got to change this mindset, that we start back into that whole threat cycle where it's like we don't think from a problem-solving perspective, we're thinking from a fight-or-flight perspective, and we get really kind of judgy and stuck in that sort of, I've got to change this right now, instead of taking the opportunity, which is really part of what this lesson is about today, which is, how can I learn from what happened, pick it apart, figure it out, to build whatever's next and whatever's better based on the situation. So, for example, what you're talking about, Laura, with the math test, if you can say, you know, wow, if I can pick it apart and figure out what broke down in that, then it can help you to move it forward. If you have your kid who, you know, you've given them a chore and they just haven't done it, and it's like, okay, you failed. You know, you were supposed to get this done and you didn't. And a lot of us, what we do is we just say, okay, here's your consequence, let's move on. But if you can take the opportunity to say, okay, it didn't work, yeah, we're still going to have consequences, but how do we move it forward from here? So a couple things here. One is, you know, staying away from judgment and looking at the distinction between making mistakes and being bad or wrong, and then the other is to how to build on it and to move it forward. So what comes up for the two of you as we kind of share this topic?
I think just breaking things into little pieces to figure out wrong and I went wrong. And I think for me, that's one of the things I try to do is look at things and figure out what piece didn't work. Because usually, you know, I say math, but there's probably some little speck inside of the greater thing that is math that is the cause of why he's struggling. And trying to find that is, you know, what I think I have to probably do and keep that in mind when I'm making decisions.
Yeah. So when you think about making mistakes and about kind of moving forward from the, do you find yourself more critical of your own mistakes or of your child's mistakes?
Probably my own, because I do feel like I think things with his teachers, and I feel like I'm probably the one missing things. And I mean, they're not trained to do this, and I know him a little bit more, but I think that he's a kid, and so he's just trying to figure out life in general and his hormones and everything else and girls and all that other important stuff. So, I mean, I definitely think at this point he really needs to be, the boat doesn't sail itself. You have to have a captain steering it, and I think at this point in his life it still falls to me to be the overall, well, myself and my husband, the overall captains, the people steering the boat that is Zachary into the right places, because I don't know that he would know how to do it. He just knows he's not doing it in a way that gets him good scores, and he's just as befuddled as we are that his test scores are so high and he can't pass math class in the classroom.
Well, it's interesting because you said that it's usually you that you have a harder time with, but then all of a sudden you shifted the energy back to him. So can we talk about you and the mistakes for a second?
Yes, that's interesting. Yes.
Caught that, didn't I? So what do you think it's all about? Tell me what happens when you make mistakes.
I just feel like I haven't followed through with what I need to get done, and that I know if he's struggling, and so I need to figure it out. And so I'm not generally angry with him. I'm more likely to be angry with myself for what didn't I do, or what am I missing, or, especially when I see him working hard and putting effort into it. So I usually feel like it comes back to me in that case.
Okay, so you tend to get angry with yourself. And how is getting angry at yourself a motivating sort of thing? Does it help you to change your behavior, or is it more defeatist? How do you typically respond to when you get angry at yourself?
You know what? I wouldn't say it's angry at myself. I would say it's overall frustrated. And I think that it usually takes me a little while to realize it's not working. Because we try something new, or I have a conversation with a teacher, or I do something. And then I realize it's not working. And then I sit, like Charlie Brown on the corner, on the stoop, pouting after Lucy has said something bad to him. And it takes me a little while to just think about it and pout about it. And then I get up and start trying to break it into smaller pieces and get moving with it. But I often have high hopes when I start something, or when he and I start something, or when, the teacher and I start something, and then when it's not working.
Well, it makes perfect sense. You get motivated, you get going, and then all of a sudden something breaks down in the process, and it doesn't end up falling out the way that you want it to. So it makes sense that it would be frustrating. The thing that kind of came to mind as I was listening to you talk, I think a lot of us do this where we tend to, and it doesn't sound like you do a lot of this, but this whole kind of beating ourselves up sort of thing when things don't work out the way that we want them to. When we think about our kids and about how we know that, they respond better to the carrot than they do to the stick, so it's kind of like if we can step back and say, how can we do some of the stuff we're teaching ourselves to do for our kids for us? So when we do when we do make a mistake, when we do something that doesn't go the way we expect it to, rather than punishing and criticizing and making ourselves wrong, can we step back and say, okay, if this was my kid and this happened, how would I handle it? And for a lot of us, one of the things that's really difficult for us is consistency or follow through. And for half of us, it's probably because we're also ADD and we have the same challenges our kids do with the executive function. For the other half of us, we suffer from stressed out executive function mom because we're trying to carry everybody and do everything all at once. And so it makes perfect sense that we're going to have these challenges and we're not going to be able to do everything that we want to be able to do. But then we beat ourselves up and it doesn't end up actually hurting. So how can you fail forward when you do make a mistake?
I don't know. But that's a good question.
I do kind of relate to that. I mean, with especially with the parting, like we try something. I can completely relate to that. So I can. There's something new that this week we bought Minecraft because he's obsessed with this Minecraft. So my decision was that we would go ahead and put it on one of the computers as leverage. So as a way to get his homework done quicker instead of taking all night, then if we could, when everything is done, and we just started this like 2 days ago, so I don't know the full results yet. When everything is done, then he can go on, but not before. And I also, when we came home today from karate, he didn't do a couple of things, so I said, and you owe me 50 jumping jacks before you can go on. So not only he's not just sitting in the, looking at his computer screen for an hour, he has to do 50 jumping jacks beforehand. So we'll see how that works.
So what about you? So when did you feel like you are more critical of your son when he makes mistakes or more critical of yourself?
Of myself, because I feel like I'm working on how to do all these steps, and I'm educating myself, and, you know, and I know how to keep calm, and so I just feel like, what did I do wrong? How come this didn't get done right, you know? So, I mean, I'm kind of lenient because I know that tomorrow is another day. It might be better. He's starting to become more aware because I'm trying to educate him to what he needs to do, you know, what's his part of the responsibility. So I think it's just a work in progress, and, you know, I just have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and so I'm going to play a little bit with the words you just used because I was listening to the tone of your voice and the words of your voice, and you're like, why did this happen? Can't believe it. You know, I couldn't get it done. Why does this always happen to me? You know, it's kind of like that sort of, and it's kind of like a victim energy, right? So let's use those same words and let's fail forward and say, wow, I wonder why this happens all the time. What can I do differently that would help me to not do it next time? You know, so it's just that, you know, you're saying the same thing, but it's turning the lens around and saying, how can I learn from this instead of how can I be a victim to this? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what about your kids? How can you help them to fail forward?
Learn from their mistakes. I mean, that's basically what I generally do, is trying to make sure that they don't make the same mistake over and over and over. I'd rather them make new mistakes and learn from those, and to make every time we're not doing well or we do something poorly or whatever, that we learn a lesson to try not to make the same mistake again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of is. And I think that the thing that was kind of coming up to me is that the first step is often in teaching your kids that it's okay to make mistakes. And I think that that's the piece of it, because do make mistakes all the time. And I think that, I mean, I know for myself personally that, you know, there was a time in my life where it was like, I'd rather die than make a mistake. You know, it's just, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I made a mistake. You know, it's just this intense sort of reaction that I would have to it. And it's like, I think it's because I didn't get a lot of practice making mistakes when I was younger. And I think that that's the piece, is that if we create an environment where it's okay to make mistakes, where it's okay to have things not work the way that we wanted them to, and maybe we talk a little bit more about when things don't turn out the way we want them to, then it begins to make it okay, and it helps our kids to look at it more as a proving ground rather than a penalty box. Do I like that? Proving ground rather than a penalty box. How does that feel when I say that?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think trying to figure out how to rework a situation. And, I mean, I think that's a paradigm shift, too, because not just having to deal with the consequences, which does sound more like, you know, the punishment box, even if it's not, you know, like a punishment, it's just a natural consequence of this behavior. But a whole mindset change to relating to everything in that way.
Yeah, because I think it's easy to just stop at the punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find I'm not, if it, it depends on like the, I guess I'm confused like maybe more like which mistakes, because we have a lot. And so if it's more like a homework kind of thing and I say, okay, then I just kind of try to tell them, okay, like we'll work harder on this kind of problem next time, you know, but like if it's a hygiene issue or something like that, I know that I'm starting to get frustrated. Like, you know, I feel like he's old enough that he should know this, you know. Like, brush
right.
your teeth three times, you know, and instead of twice, you've got to get three in instead of two, you know. So, like,
right.
versus
well,
the homework,
so
I'm more lenient, you know. So.
Well, and I think that as you're saying that, what comes back to me is kind of the whole is naughty or the neurological piece of it, right? So it's kind
right.
of like if we look at a situation and we feel like, you know, if we, I'm thinking of a continuum, and my left hand I've got naughty, and my right hand I've got neurological. You know, so if we're looking at the situation, we're going, yeah, that's much more naughty than it is neurological. Our tendency is to go to, you know, punishment. If it's more, if we can see it as neurological, it's easier to go, okay, how can we fail forward? But I would say that, you know, the reality is that it's never one or the other. It's always both. Or not always both, but there's always some neurological aspect to everything with our kids. You know, and so it's kind of how can you take any example and not just go to the punishment and but also to bring it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what about the teeth brushing? How could you fail forward with the challenge he has with getting his teeth brushed?
Right. It's the two of them are okay. It's the third one. It's just. Come on, you know, because I kind of feel like our days are long because the homework is so, you know, it takes us longer than the average person to get it, what we have to do done. So I'm fine with that, but it's rush, rush, rush for bedtime because we, you know, so I haven't figured that. I mean, sometimes it gets done, sometimes it doesn't. So we've tried schedules and reward charts, and so maybe I just need to try to keep it simpler, and I don't know if just helpful reminders or have him keep track of it. I'm not sure right now.
Well, and so maybe it's about picking it apart and finding out what's really going on, you know. And so maybe it's about, the third time. And we've talked about this with my kids. It's kind of like maybe the third time they brush their teeth is after school and not at bedtime or whatever. You know, whatever it is, let's try to get three times
right.
a day rather than. Three times, and the last one has to be at 9:15 or 10:15 or whatever when we're completely exhausted, you know. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's taking it apart enough to go, okay, what can I learn from what's happening? So, well, when he's, you know, had some downtime in the afternoon, he's able to do it. But when he's playing a game, then he can't do it. You know, so it's kind of like picking it apart and learning from it. Instead of, because it sounds like you're sounding like almost like you're at the point where you're kind of defeated about it. Is that fair?
Not quite. You know, it's just been a long week, so I'm not defeated
yeah.
yet. But it just so it's mental. It's sometimes it's just mentally draining.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to learn for myself that like days like today, I have to take time for myself. Recharge my batteries a little bit and so that I can repeat the process, you know. So.
Well, good for you. I think that's a great reminder for all of us. I think it's easy to get into the point where we're exhausted and it's like we're just kind of hanging on with our fingernails. So
right.
Good. All right. Well, we're getting close here. So let's start to go through our closing questions so we can do a little bit of coaching around the closeout and what we're going to focus in on. So take a minute and let's answer the four questions. And I guess we're on page 46 today, if you've got your workbook today. So it's what did I learn or get clear about today? How can I apply this in my life right now? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success? So take a minute and make some notes for yourself. Take you back into the real world. All right. So either of you want to share kind of what your summary of today's call was?
I think go ahead, Lana.
No, go ahead, Wendy. You go. I'll listen to you because maybe you'll give me some insight first.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. I'm going to give input. I've been trying. I'm pretty good, like you said, like the neurologically, I understand when they're making mistakes. So I'm also going to, what I want to do is to involve Sean, like he did the other day, more in the planning stages of his homework. So, I mean, he's been more responsive to that lately. So how I want to do it is to maybe make a chart. We know the where, and maybe once a week when we do have downtime and not during the week, have like a little, I know we've been talking about the family meetings, you know, just keep the short and simple and to the point. And so I think maybe some kind of chart and maybe a short meeting once a week on the days when we're not non-homework days to kind of keep us focused on what we need to do, you know, and just maybe break it down and so he has more input and I'm not just saying do this, you know. So
Wendy, I got to ask because it sounds like it's something you've been trying to do for a while. What's going to be different now that's going to help you to make sure you have the meeting?
Well, the little family meeting? Well, mm-hmm. You know, It's me and my son, we talk all the time. I mean, especially in the car, I try to, you know, keep repeating those steps like, you know, what was your favorite part? What was your favorite part of the day? You know, and I try to ask him questions when we're walking or things like that. But I think I am actually going to, I have a little bit extra free time this week, that I'm actually going to sit down and make some kind of chart or go on your website, and I'm sure there's something there that, And we're going to have a little meeting, him and me, one-on-one, and figure out what's going to maybe be our meeting times just for maybe 5 minutes a week to discuss how we should run this. You know, we got to start somewhere. So I'm just going to take it small for the first one and figure out, get his input on how we should do this. Because I know it was brought up last week how other people were doing it, and I really did like that. So I thought, besides the things that I'm already doing, I think that somehow incorporating them into this part with the homework and the projects, because the extra projects is what's really, really getting him more frustrated. We have to narrow that down to how it's more manageable for him and how I can support him. So,
okay. So when are you going to do that? Yeah, so when are you going to do it, Wendy?
Well, actually, he's off of school tomorrow, so
okay.
I'm thinking that we can take 5 minutes out after breakfast and with a pad of paper and sit down and figure where to start.
Okay. So what do you think you need to do to make that happen?
Just grab the pad of paper and him at the kitchen table.
Great.
And I'll pre-warn him today before bedtime. That's what we're going to do. So,
awesome. Well, I love that you're giving them some preparation because a lot of times our kids don't like different sort of things, and especially if if it is something that he doesn't see as fun, kind of preparing him for it, it would be helpful.
Mm.
Great.
Mm.
What do you want to do to prepare yourself?
Me? Oh, I'll probably either mentally or physically write down what I would like to do. You know, some maybe at least with just, I want to kind of keep it small and then build on it, like a small foundation and build upon that. So I would probably just write down a few, couple things, and then maybe each week or every other week add on to that. So it
okay.
becomes, you know, habit, a good habit.
So I don't know you that well, Wendy. Is that something that you think will be easy for you to do, or do you feel like that's something that's going to be a big challenge for you?
You know, right now I think it would be actually more of a challenge because we are just so busy and now we have stuff on Saturday mornings. And so it's, you know, but tomorrow's Friday, so it's different. But we're going to have to talk about the best time just to do it. And it's just that we need to slow down. So we're going to have to take that time to do it together. And so it might be a challenge at first.
But it sounds like part of the job for the conversation tomorrow, because you do have some downtime, is to get the commitment and figure out when you're going to have it happen and to get that going. And I don't know whether it's putting it in the calendar or being each other's accountability partner, but, you know, I guess the question I would ask is, how do you get his buy-in?
How am I going to get his buy-in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the question? Well, I'm going to just pre-warn him tonight because I don't know if it's going to really be too much of a buy-in, but my buy-in part for him is going to be he gets the input. He gets to help decide how we're going to manage these projects, these extra projects that he's getting, you know. So he gets to help in the that's I guess is we're only the beginning stages of where I'm at right now.
Okay. All right.
Instead
well,
of me
like
being
a work in progress.
Right. Instead of me just being bossy and saying, "Hey, that's how we're doing it," then he gets to help choose. And I'm gonna have to re-listen to one of the calls because one of the ladies, I don't remember who, had a really good how they did their meeting. So I'm gonna have to re-listen to that.
That was
awesome.
Lana, and it's also on Facebook. She posted a whole thing about how it went.
Oh, okay, okay.
Have you seen the Facebook stuff?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
I think it was, and I only think I remember that because it sounds so much like Lara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was her.
Okay. Yeah, I remember it was on there, and yeah, I have to go back and either read it or listen to it, or because it sounded really good, and I think we need some more of those, and I need to structure it into our day. So that it becomes a good habit, and or a week, I should say, and becomes a habit. So.
Okay, great. All right, so Laura, what about you?
Well, mine is also going to be trying to get Zachary more involved in figuring out what's going wrong, because I am concerned about high school starting and grades being more important. And I think every time it's really just been kind of me talking to the teacher, and maybe what I really need to do is figure out from Zachary, you know, at what step is this breaking down? Is it the test? Is it the environment? Is it the day-to-day? Is it that you thought you knew how and then it ended up that you didn't? Or, you know, and getting his insight into it. And I know that he hates to have these teacher talks, but, you know, setting him up for this conversation, and good idea, Wendy, about doing it tomorrow and giving them a heads up tonight. Good idea. See, I knew if I let you talk first, I'd get a good idea from you.
Oh.
So I think I'll do the same thing, which is tell Zachary tonight that tomorrow we're going to have a talk about math class so that he can give me some insights so that I can figure out how he needs me to help him. So it's not just like me jumping in and trying to save someone from drowning that thinks they're swimming.
Yeah.
And kind of just saying to him, could you please think about this tonight, knowing that tomorrow morning we're going to talk about this, and then go from there.
So what do you think you need to do to set yourself up for success, Laura?
I think that I have to be very careful about not talking at him. And really trying to, because sometimes he just doesn't want to talk. And then I, like, start feeding him, like, well, is it? And then he can just answer yes or no. And I think somehow, and maybe just how I presented tonight, saying, you know, I really want you to think about this. I want you to get it in your mind, you know, so that I can help you. Help me help you. I'll be Jerry Maguire. I mean, that's, I don't know, but if you have a better suggestion, I'm all for it.
So I think, and I love that.
That's, he has to do with it. He's better.
Yeah, no, that I think that that's great and right on target. I think the thing that kind of popped into my head that I know Elaine is particularly good at is when you start with having a conversation with, you know, the first thing out of her mouth is, you're not in trouble, and let's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, so it's kind of like that. If you separate the mistake, you know, this is bad, you know, you're in trouble, and let's learn from it. So it's kind of like you're
yeah.
calming, you're acknowledging, you know, and I think that that's
yeah.
the thing. We often jump right into problem-solving mode, and if we can sit and just listen
right.
and say, what's going on, and what happened? That must have been hard for you. Wow, that really, that's really crazy. That must have been really difficult, or wow,
well,
how did that
think,
feel? You know, just kind of being there with them.
I think that presenting it as, you know what, we've run into a problem, let's figure it out together, and let's, you know, make it into a yay, we found a mistake, let's figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a problem because we're going to work on it and solve it, you know, just making it a more positive interaction,
yep.
I think.
Awesome. Great. Well, we're at time, ladies. You had a great session tonight. You guys did a really good job. I can't wait to hear how things go over the next couple of weeks. We're actually, the next session is in 3 weeks, so we're meeting, what is it, the 9th of May? Because there's two sessions each month, and April was a super long month here. So the next okay. session, let me just double check. May 8th. Let me double check that.
Day.
Yep, May 8th is the next session.
May 8th. Okay.
And then it's two
yep.
weeks after that. So then the 2 weeks.
And then it's 2 weeks after that. And so we've just got two more sessions left. So we've just got two sessions in May, and then we're done for the year. So I know we mentioned in our email on Monday that we're kind of figuring out what we're going to do for the summer support. So if you guys have thoughts or ideas, we'd love to hear it. Send us a note, and we'll probably post something on Facebook. But appreciate all you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, ladies. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.